Glory to God. This is TH101, week 4, class 3. And just so you know, ahead of time, we will be letting you take your test home with you. So we have plenty of time to cover the material tonight. And you are to bring your exam back with your paper the first night of TH102. So you'll have plenty of time to take the test. And it is open syllabus, open Bible. And you, whatever reference you need to use from the textbook, you can, but there are no questions on the exam from the textbook, just so you know that ahead of time. Now, picking up here, we were talking about this question that the gifts of the Spirit should manifest each time we come together for a church service. Where this is taught, it has created a tremendous amount of confusion. Various gifts have been manufactured, such as a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, prophecy, and all that, which have both hurt and been used to manipulate people. My goodness, have I seen that. I mean, people prophesying, the Lord says, you're supposed to marry me. Give me a break. God is not going to grab a hold of somebody and make them marry someone else. He's not going to do that. Now, he might hint, this would be a good person for you to marry, but he's not going to make you do this. And he is not going to speak to somebody and send them, say, the Lord said, thus saith God Almighty, woohoo, Shandai, the Lord says, you should marry me. No, that is not going to happen. And preachers have done this kind of stuff to manipulate money out of people and all. No, it does not work that way. We don't see that in Scripture. Churches in which such a teaching is practiced can have services that degenerate into a tremendous amount of disorder. This is exactly what Paul was trying to correct in his letter to the Corinthians. Such disorder is what has caused some Christians to be opposed to the modern day existence of the gifts, and I don't blame them. I mean, when you get around all that silliness and all that emotion and all that put on and people say it's the Holy Ghost, it's no wonder that some folks say, well, bless God, if that's the Holy Ghost, I don't want it. I don't want to act like that. That's just plain weird. Now, granted, there can be manifestations of the Holy Spirit that do seem a little odd to us at times. And I'm not discrediting that. But what I'm talking about are churches where this seems to be like the normal. And it's almost like if the weird isn't happening, then it's not normal. No, it's normal if the weird isn't happening. That's what's normal. The quality of a church service should never be measured by the manifestation or lack thereof of the gifts of the Spirit. The quality of a church service should always be measured by what the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit about, relative to what happened. That's what the quality of the service should be measured by. And, you know, again, some people, it's almost like they are addicted to the emotionalism. And that's what they seek, and that's what they want. I don't want to be in that kind of an atmosphere. I don't want to be in that kind of church. Some people have felt like, and the church I pastor, some people have felt like that maybe some of our services aren't as... I can remember one time somebody said, you know, you folks need to learn how to, you know, praise the Lord. I'm thinking, wait a minute. I knew what this person meant. Their interpretation of praising the Lord is when people get wild and crazy and start running the aisles and flopping on the floor like fish out of water and, you know, hopping the pews like it's, you know, some kind of a track meet. And, you know, all this kind of stuff goes on. And I'm thinking, you know what? There's a time and a place for everything, and that kind of stuff can happen. But if that is the standard you're looking for, you're missing God. Because God himself, remember when God said, okay, look for me. And he says, well, there was a mighty wind. God wasn't in the mighty wind. Well, there was a fire. God wasn't in the fire. There was a still small voice. And that's where God was. Now, sometimes he can be the rushing mighty wind. Sometimes he can be the fire. And sometimes he's going to be the still small voice. But when churches are trying to create that kind of atmosphere, you know what? I would rather be in a church service to where the people are just caught up. Jesus, I praise your name. I glorify you, Lord. I worship you, Jesus. We've had services that have been like that in our church to where, you know, that kind of worship It's been like a wave that swept through the congregation. We have literally had healings manifest in people's bodies during times of worship like that. And I praise God for that. And you can't create that with emotionalism. So I'm not saying you never should have the excitement. What I'm saying is, when that becomes the norm, and you're looking for all these gifts to manifest and all the hype, that's when you're missing God. God's not in the hype. He's in the move of His will by His Spirit in every church service. Now, this next one. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is a sovereign act of God. Whenever He wants me filled and speaking in tongues, I'll be filled. And I got to tell you, that one grates on me, because it tells me that the person hasn't been reading Scripture and they really don't understand the way God moved or the Holy Spirit moved in the New Testament. In the book of Acts, people were taught to receive, not wait for a sovereign act of God. Nobody said, okay, now listen, you need this, but you need to wait for a sovereign act of God. And I want you all just to stand here, and if God wants you to have it, He'll give it to you. Otherwise, you know, maybe next week will be your week. Or maybe next month. But remember, this is a sovereign act of God. Well, God has already performed His sovereign act. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit began a work that is still available today. So for somebody to say, well, when God wants to, He'll send the Holy Ghost to me. No, dear heart, the Holy Ghost has already been sent. Jesus said, I'm leaving, the Holy Ghost is coming. He didn't say He's going to come and leave, come and leave, come and... He said He's going to be here. He'll be with you forever. So in other words, the Holy Ghost is here right now. He's here now in this room. Listen, I don't understand how I can be filled with the Holy Ghost and you can be filled with the Holy Ghost at the same time. I don't understand how that works. But I know it does. So I just take God at His word and reckon that He's a whole lot smarter than I am. So if He knows how to do this and get us all filled with the Holy Ghost at the same time, He can do it. It's not mine to question. It's mine to receive. That's what I'm responsible for. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is an act of faith, just as is being born again. You know, if being born again was a sovereign act of God, then people get born again sometime and sometime not. We get born again the instant that we put our faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Likewise, we can receive the Holy Spirit by choice. It's not just a sovereign move of God. Some people have taught, you aren't saved if you don't speak in tongues. I've heard this. And again, this is the one that it really irritates me. Because this teaching, it comes primarily from formulating a doctrine as a result of fragmenting Scripture, primarily Romans 8 and 9. Turn to Romans 8 and 9. I'll show you this. It says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. So they take this ninth verse and say, see there, if you don't speak in tongues, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, you're not born again. Well, now, I don't have time to get into all of this. As far as you can't accurately break down verse 9 unless you're going to go back and start really in chapter 1 of verse 1. But we don't have time for that tonight. All I'm going to tell you about that is this. This verse is not talking about you have to be filled with the Holy Ghost to be born again. You don't have to, that you have to speak in tongues to be born again. That's not what this is saying. Remember, in John chapter 3, verse 3 and 7, Jesus said, we must be born again. He did not say, ye must speak in tongues. Remember, Nicodemus came to Him. He says, listen, Jesus, there's a bunch of us. We're not like some of these other Pharisees that want to kill you. We know you couldn't do these things if God weren't with you. And Jesus turns around and He says, hey, you must be born again. Now, I'm not going to teach John chapter 3 tonight, but what I'm saying is, Jesus gave the instruction, you must be born again. And He went on to explain how that you can be born naturally, but you also must be born spiritually. You must be born again. So in John chapter 3, verses 3 and 7, He's talking about being born again. not speaking in tongues. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, in Revelation chapter 21, verse 27, it says, our name must be written in the Lamb's book of life, not the Lamb's book of tongue talkers. The key is being born again. The key is not speaking in tongues. Think of it like this. God says, all right, look, you can be born again, but you're going to need a little more because you don't understand about being born again. You've lived with a sin nature that was passed down to you from Adam. Now that you're born again, you have my life that was passed down to you from me. You don't understand how to do all this. No matter what my word says, you still have some hang-ups. So we're going to send the third person of the Holy Spirit. Myself, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we've come into agreement that the Holy Spirit's going to be the one to come down to help you in your born-again state. He is to help you as a Christian. And one of the things that He's going to do for you is give you the ability to pray in a language that you do not understand that comes straight from us so that you will be able to pray in a way that is according to my perfect will. Otherwise, you're going to be totally reliant on what you can reason out in your mind. And I need to get past your mind and work with you on the spiritual level. So the Holy Ghost is going to come and help you do that. In other words, the whole thing of being filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, it is a benefit made available to us as Christians. It's not mandatory to get through the pearly gates. It's something that God says, look, here it is. It's for you. I highly encourage you to take part of this. If you don't, just because you put your faith in my Son, Jesus Christ, your name's still written in the Lamb's Book of Life. However, you're going to miss out on a whole lot that I could do for you, in you, and through you if you dismiss the third person of the Godhead being your very close and personal friend. In Acts chapter 8, the apostles accepted that people in Samaria were born again, but had not yet received the Holy Ghost. And we read that story over there in Acts chapter 8. In other words, the apostles understood these guys are born again because they've accepted the preaching of Philip. They're born again. They've been baptized in the name of Jesus. But they're not yet filled with the Holy Ghost. So they didn't. When Peter and John showed up, they didn't say, okay, now listen, guys, I know that Philip, you know, he's done a great job here. And a whole bunch of you, you had devils cast out of you. A whole bunch of you, you've been sick with all kinds of diseases and problems. You got healed. But even though you put your faith in Jesus Christ, like Philip preached, and even though you were baptized in the name of Jesus, like Philip preached, you're not born again yet. And you're not a Christian yet. And you won't be until we lay hands on you and minister to you and you get filled with the Holy Ghost and start speaking with tongues. Now that is absolutely preposterous. And that did not happen in Acts chapter 8. When Peter and John showed up, they knew that these people were already born again. Therefore they said, okay, let's take it to the next step and minister to them about being filled with the Holy Spirit so that they can become everything that God wants them to become. Some people, you see, it's kind of a delicate thing. Because some people have looked at me throughout the years and say, you mean to tell me that I cannot become everything God wants if I'm not filled with the Holy Ghost? It's like, well, technically, you can live like a Christian. But when it comes to doing the works of God, the works of Jesus, like he talks about, the Bible says that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power. Now, if we intend to follow that pattern, it behooves us to let God anoint us with the Holy Ghost and power so that we likewise can go about doing good, healing all that are oppressed of the devil. So, yeah, you can be a great Christian. And you can do wonderful things for God. And you can preach the gospel to people and get them born again. However, Scripture shows us that there is an added benefit to being filled with the Holy Spirit and an added benefit of praying in tongues, which, again, we'll talk about later on. So, therefore, I don't think the question really should be whether or not you can become a good Christian or whether or not you can become the kind of Christian God desires. I don't think that should be the question. I think the real question should be, why are you even asking this? Why aren't you seeking to receive this once you see the pattern established in Scripture? Why would you not want this? And that's the part that throws me a curve. And quite frankly, there's a lot of folks, they don't like to talk about that. Well, I just don't believe I need it. Then we go back to all these other arguments that have come up. It's like, wait a minute. If we see it in Scripture, then we should want it. Really? A lot of people are afraid. And I think for some folks, that's what it comes down to. I know that, for my wife, she was afraid of what would happen when she got filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, what's going to happen? You know, am I going to turn into some kind of weirdo? It's like, no, that's not going to be like. Did anybody in the Bible turn into some kind of weirdo? No. And just the opposite. They got unweirdoed. They turned normal. They got okay. Let's talk for a moment here about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we've talked a whole lot here in this course about the fact that the gifts of the Spirit, they are for today. They still exist. You know, scripturally we have seen this. We've proven it through Scripture that the gifts are supposed to still be operating today. Likewise, we have proven in Scripture that God is not selective, that being filled with the Holy Spirit is something that we should all seek. We have proven in Scripture how that being filled with the Holy Spirit is something that can happen to you after you're born again. It can happen within seconds after you're born again, or, you know, it can happen years down the road. I mean, really, it's up to you what you want to receive. Likewise, we've seen from Scripture that the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. That's what we are seeing in God's Word. It's not me. It's God's Word. Therefore, knowing this, there's no reason for anybody to really want to take issue with what's being taught here. On occasion, this has happened. You know, some students have, they haven't exactly been polite in expressing their position. You know, you're saying that everybody has to be filled, but no, I'm not saying everybody has to. What I'm saying is if we're going to follow the pattern that we see in God's Word, we'll want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You're saying that, you know, I'm not as good of a... No, I didn't say that either. Born again is born again. There are not degrees of born again. And folks that are filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues aren't more born again than people who don't believe in this. Born again is born again. That's all there is to it. If we truly want to follow what God has lined out in His Word, if we want to be like Jesus, we should follow the pattern of Jesus. Jesus had God's life, and He was later on filled with the Holy Spirit. If we want to have a ministry like the apostles, if we want to be used by God in the same way that they were used by God in the New Testament, we should want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We should choose. I know that there are a lot of things we don't understand. I was like that. I was at that place of, you know, I didn't know what to expect because of all these things I had been taught incorrectly. So I really wasn't sure what to expect. I was apprehensive, but I knew this is something, I knew I needed this. And we have proven in Scripture that being filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues is something that is for all Christians. It's not just for this church and this group over here. They don't need it because they've got the Bible. Well, crying out loud, we all have the Bible. So, again, God loves everyone equally, born again or not born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, not filled with the Holy Ghost. He loves everybody equally. It's just that He's making available to us all these tools that we need so that we can do everything He desires us to do to further His purposes here in this world. As previously discussed, being filled with the Holy Ghost is not a matter of waiting for Him to be sent. It is a matter of receiving what has already been made available. That's what it comes down to. There is no specific formula to being filled other than receiving by faith. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, there was the sound of a rushing mighty wind. There were cloven tongues of fire. and the people were filled and spoke in tongues. In Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, hands were laid on the Samaritans and they were filled. In Acts chapter 10, 44 through 46, in the middle of a sermon, people were filled. And here are some other testimonies of people being filled and speaking in tongues. I know of a person that was, they were driving down their car, born again. But they, you know, it's like they knew they wanted more. And they didn't know how to explain that because they'd never been taught about the more. But they just prayed. They told God, God, I want everything you have. I want it all. I don't care what it is, God. I want it. And I want you to give it to me, you know, now. And those weren't the exact words of the prayer, but that was the essence of the intent of the prayer. And she says, as she's driving down the road, all of a sudden, this language starts coming out. And she said, it was so cool. She said, I started praying in tongues while I was driving my car. There was, I know of a person, he was sitting at his desk, and his desk at home was really going through a low point in his life. I mean, it looked like everything had collapsed around him. His life, just everything seemed to be failure. That's all. It's all he felt like he could see around him. And he went into his office. He's there at his desk and he's praying. And he says, God, you know, if this is all there is to being a Christian, I don't even know if I want it. Everything is so lousy. Everything stinks. Everything's so horrible. I want your best. I want what you have to offer. And he said, you know, as he's there praying this, all of a sudden, you know, he said he could tell God was in that room. God was moving upon him, and he began speaking in tongues. And he said he knew right then and there his life wasn't going to be the same. He knew that there was a change for the good that was taking place. There was a person, a lady I know, that was taking a shower. And she hadn't been filled with the Holy Spirit, but she knew of other people that had been. And she wanted this because she knew there was a difference in this. And so there she is in the shower. She naked in the shower. And she's praying and talking to God. God, I want this. God, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden, right there in the shower, she gets filled with the Holy Ghost, starts speaking in tongues. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think it's cool. Just right there in the shower, begins speaking in tongues. This has happened. Point D has happened more than once. I mean, people coming to the altar. I remember one time, I'll just use this one as an example. I was ministering in a church. If you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, come up. And a couple of people came up, a guy and a woman. And I went to the man and I'm ministering to him. And I look over and this lady all of a sudden is like, whammo. She gets filled and starts speaking in tongues. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'm supposed to lay hands on you for this. You know, I'm the preacher here. I got to look good in front of all these people in this church. You're supposed to wait for me to get over there. But nobody laid hands on her. It was just her act of faith, her step of faith to receive. And she received and she was filled with the Holy Ghost. There was a person that was at home on a Sunday afternoon. And in fact, this person had talked to the pastor about, you know, being filled with the Holy Ghost and so forth. The pastor talked to them about it and so on. And they were just kind of nervous because, you know, somebody was there watching. You know how that is. And the pastor said, well, look, just go home and get alone in your bedroom and just receive this like I've taught you. And they said, well, okay. Went home Sunday afternoon, went in the bedroom. Sure enough, man. They prayed, and the inhibitions were gone because nobody was looking, and got filled with the Holy Ghost, started speaking in tongues right there, all alone in the bedroom, nobody there. A person having a dream and waking up speaking in tongues. I know this person. What had happened, this person came to me. This has been, you know, years back. This person came to me with questions. I'm hearing all this teaching about this, and I know this is right. This person had been raised like I was, you know, to not believe in this stuff at all. No way. They said, I know this is right. I know it's right. I know it is. But I've just got some questions. It's like, okay. So my wife and I took her out after Sunday night service, and we went and got some pizza. And, you know, she's asking all these questions. We must have sat there, man, I don't know, like an hour and a half, 2 hours. And it was good questions. You know, some people ask dumb questions. You know, did Adam have a belly button? Some people just ask some questions, don't make any sense whatsoever. And her questions, though, were good questions. about the Holy Spirit, tongues, and all this other. So we're answering the questions and, you know, pointing her to Scripture and so forth, and explained about, you know, praying to receive the Holy Ghost and all. And she said, okay, well, you know, and we left, and she went home. Well, next time I saw her, she said, let me tell you what happened. I went home, went to the bedroom, she lived alone, and got on my knees, you know, beside my bed. I said, God, I believe this is real, and I want this. So, you know, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. She said, nothing happened. She said, I waited, nothing happened. I'm like, okay. She said, she prayed again. God, I mean it now. You know, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to receive my prayer language. And, you know, prayed and then waited. Nothing happened. She said, God, I have to go to work tomorrow and I'm tired, so I'm going to bed. So she goes to bed. And she said, as I'm in bed, I start having this dream. And in this dream, I started speaking in tongues. And just kept speaking in tongues. And just kept speaking in tongues. And she said, the alarm went off and I woke up and I was still speaking in tongues. It's like, praise, yeah, praise God is right. Hallelujah. And the reason I'm sharing all about this is that there is no pattern. Meaning, you don't have to hear a rushing mighty wind. You don't have to see cloven tongues like as of fire. You don't have to feel goosebumps. You don't have to have somebody lay hands on you. You don't even have to be dressed. You can be naked in the shower. There is no pattern. It's a matter of receiving. It's just that when we start getting taught it has to be such and such way, that's when we're looking for performance and works to earn being filled. It's just like with salvation. It's by faith you receive. Being filled with the Holy Ghost, by faith you receive. There's been so much confusion about how to get the Holy Ghost that even people who do believe in speaking in tongues sometimes go for years waiting for that special moment. And it shouldn't be that way. When people receive the Holy Spirit, they do not turn into a robot unable to control their own actions. And they do not have an experience similar to something out of a horror movie. I mean, there are some people that they have this, you know, you've seen some of those movies maybe where people, you know, these spirits, demons, whatever, devils possess them and they start acting, you know, foaming at the mouth. What? It's not like that. The Holy Spirit isn't, you will not have an event like that with the Holy Ghost. And when people get filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't need somebody to grab your jaw and start jerking it up and down. Speak it out, boy. Speak it out. Speak it out. You don't have to. You ever seen that before? I feel so sorry for the Holy Ghost. He goes, you know, I'm trying to do a work here in their life, and these guys think they're helping me by grabbing this person's mouth and jiggling it all over the place. Doesn't work that way. You don't need to have somebody do that. You don't need to repeatedly yell, glory, glory, glory. You ever seen those services? Somebody's trying to get filled with the Holy Ghost, and somebody stands by and says, all right, come on, just say glory, glory, glory as fast as you can. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. Why, anybody would get tongue-tied with that. Anybody start making weird sounds with that. You don't have to do it that way. People receive by faith. I can remember, man, you know, the services. Hold on, turn loose, let go, receive, take, get a grip. It's like you get people all confused. They don't know what to do. It's not supposed to be like that. The Holy Spirit will not forcefully ram speaking in tongues across a person's lips. He's not going to take a spiritual frying pan and smack you in the head and force you to do this. People receive this infilling or this baptism, whatever you want to call it, by faith, the same way they receive Jesus as Savior. Being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues is a gift, is what Scripture shows us. This is why it, the infilling and tongues, must be received versus waiting for God to impose. It is a gift. Some people feel something. You know, it felt like electricity running all over me. And I felt this warmth sort of feeling come all over me. I started shaking. Some people feel nothing. Some people feel absolutely nothing.
Well, what did you feel?
Nothing. Well, then it couldn't have been the Holy Ghost. Because if it was the Holy Ghost, you'd have felt something. No! That's one of the worst things you can do when you lead somebody to Jesus Christ, they get born again, is ask them how they feel. You know what you're telling them? You're supposed to feel something now that you're born again. It's not based on your feelings. It's about your faith in Jesus Christ. What a person feels when it comes to being filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, what a person feels is not important. It is what they want to receive that matters. A person chooses to receive this infilling and chooses to speak in tongues. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, the Holy Spirit, He supplies. Remember, they spoke in tongues as the Holy Spirit gave the utterance. The Holy Spirit supplies both the language that is spoken and the words of that language. Remember, your mind won't understand it. In 1 Corinthians 14, verses 2 and 14, it's talked, when I speak, when I pray, the Holy Spirit supplies this speaking or this prayer to our spirit, not our mind. Our spirit utilizes our lungs, lips, and tongue to speak. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14, where it talks about praying in tongues, our mind does not understand what is being said. When it comes out, it can sound like, it doesn't have to sound like me or anybody else. It sounds like what it's supposed to sound like for you. And your mind will not comprehend. Yeah, but I don't understand what I'm saying. Exactly. Paul said you wouldn't. He said your understanding would be unfruitful, that you wouldn't know. The moment we make a decision to pray in the Spirit and open our mouth to speak, the Holy Spirit instantly provides the words. Instantly. Instantly He provides the words. We don't have to think about it. On the other hand, there are some people who demonstrate a somewhat flippant, disrespectful attitude. Well, I'll go forward and get prayed for. I'll see what this preacher can do. It ain't happening. Such individuals really don't want to receive. It's almost as though they're trying to discredit the minister. Their focus is on a preacher, not the Holy Spirit. This is actually a demonstration of pride in a heart that is hardened to what God could do in them and through them. Now, conclusion. It is impossible to biblically refute the present-day existence and operation of all the gifts of the Spirit, not just tongues, but all of them, as listed in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. Arguments and teachings that try to do so must either be based on the traditions of saved but unbelieving people or on the non-contextual use of Scripture. Early church historians document the proliferation of the gifts of the Spirit into the early part of 300 AD, which is far beyond the era covered by the book of Acts. While it is true that historically the reports of the manifested gifts begin to sharply diminish between 300 and 400 AD, the reason for this is also a matter of documented history. In the year 313 AD, Emperor Constantine issued his Edict of Toleration. This law ended the persecution of Christians. Certain public buildings were made available for the use of churches, and Christians were permitted to construct buildings for the sole purpose of housing churches. Christianity and Christian rapidly became popular terms. In 380 AD, Christianity was recognized as the official religion of the Roman Empire. People in massive numbers had joined churches, and it was considered fashionable and trendy to refer to oneself as a Christian. In fact, becoming a Christian was essentially considered a law. The result of this was absolutely devastating to the true church. Christianity had become a fad, and genuine evangelism was severely hampered. Preaching and teaching became extremely social in nature, and the manifestation of the gifts, though not totally disappearing, quickly diminished in occurrences. It is almost as if the devil decided that his frontal assault of persecution wasn't working, so he changed tactics. This downward trend continued and eventually produced what is referred to as the Dark Ages. In spite of this, there were continued reports of the gifts of the Spirit manifesting in various regions of the world where the gospel had spread. Evidently, the people of these eras saw very little need to consistently document their history, and subsequently, though they exist, there are very few written records of the gifts occurring. Then in the mid to late 1700s, the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit began to resurface in increasing frequency. Both John Wesley and John Fletcher made references to and taught a second blessing, an inner filling, and a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Many other pastors and traveling preachers taught the same, and various churches were known for their charismata. In 1831, the London Presbyterian Church experienced a mighty outpouring of God's power after a seeking time led by their pastor, Edward Irving. The gifts of the Spirit were in demonstration, although not all the members embraced the move. Beginning around 1875, the Keswick Higher Life Conferences spread from England to the United States. Hannah Whitall Smith, William E. Boardman, and Dwight L. Moody were leading evangelists and teachers in those conferences. The emphasis was on Christians receiving the endowment of spiritual power for service. Now, let me just interject this. Here's what's interesting. Growing up in the Baptist church, Dwight L. Moody was one of our heroes. Dwight L. Moody was filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. And a lot of people don't realize that. I went into a used bookstore one time and I found this book that was written in 1901, the year after Moody died. It was written by the man who was Moody's traveling companion in his ministry. The book's like an inch and a half, 2 inches thick. And in this book, it describes a service where Moody had been preaching. And two ladies came up to him and they said, "You need the Holy Ghost." Well, the guy that wrote the book doesn't go into great description, but he does describe the fact that Moody had an encounter with the Holy Ghost and was filled with the Holy Spirit. And the next time, it's like a year later, when Moody was preaching in that church, those same two ladies came up to him and they said, "You got it." And because they recognized the difference in his preaching from before and after he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Really interesting book. In the United States, the pouring out of God's Spirit continued to increase. As more and more Christians were filled with the Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, along with experiencing the manifestation of the other gifts, organizations began to be birthed. The United Holy Church in 1886, led by W.H. Fulford. The Fire Baptized Holiness Church in 1895, led by B.H. Irwin and J.H. King. The Church of God in Cleveland, Tennessee in 1896, led by A.J. Tomlinson. The Church of God in Christ in 1897, led by C.H. Mason. And the Pentecostal Holiness Church in 1898, led by A.B. Crumpler. On December 31st, 1900, an all-night prayer meeting at Charles Parham's Bible Institute resulted in a type of Day of Pentecost among the students. On April 9th, 1906, the famous Azusa Street Revival began as William J. Seymour was ministering in Los Angeles. Along with Parham and Seymour, many other pioneer preachers, such as Alexander Dowie, John G. Lake, Maria Woodworth Eder, Smith Wigglesworth, and Amy Semple McPherson, were used mightily of God to firmly establish the operation of the gifts of the Spirit in the church today. Christians either accept the truth that what began on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts is still happening today, or they don't. They either desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit and endued with power, or they don't. It is impossible for a church to call itself a true Book of Acts church if the power of God that was demonstrated throughout the Book of Acts is not evidenced. God established a standard for His church in the Book of Acts. That standard will not change until the culmination of prophesied events and we are glorified. Hallelujah. Now, years ago, and I'll just share this with you. Got just a few minutes left. Years ago, when I ministered to people, and I would minister to people about being filled with the Holy Spirit, about half the folks, like in these altar services, about half the people would get filled and half wouldn't. And I knew that wasn't the way it was supposed to be. I knew everybody should get filled. So, I'm praying about this, and God began to speak to me, and He said, "The thing you need to do is you need to teach the people, because they don't understand." And He began to share with me what I should teach and what I should minister to people. And essentially, the whole thing about being filled with the Holy Spirit is this. It's a matter of receiving what we've learned. When it comes to feeling anything, it's not about what you feel, because you may or may not feel anything at all. Then when it comes to actually speaking in tongues, some people will ask me, "But what do I say?" Well, it's not what you say. It's what comes out. Yeah, but how will I know what to say? You're not going to know what to say, because Paul said in his word, in the Bible, Paul wrote that when we speak in tongues, when we pray in tongues, the understanding is unfruitful, meaning the sounds that are coming out may sound like gibberish. The sounds that are coming out may sound like foolishness. It may sound like, "But it's me, I'm just making this up." It may sound like anything but something of God. But when you pray to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, The Holy Spirit at that moment is wanting to give to you the gift of praying in tongues. When you receive that from Him, it is you that breathes in and breathes out. Just like if I were to ask you, tell me your name, you would take a breath and say, well, my name is John Smith. When you speak in tongues, you take in that breath and then you release these sounds. But it is your tongue that is moving. It is your lips that are moving. And the Holy Spirit doesn't reach into your mouth and grab a hold of your tongue and start making it do things. And you're standing there saying, what on God's green earth is this? It's not like that. It is your energy that's producing the sounds, but it's the Holy Spirit that's causing it to be a language. A lot of people have been afraid that they would be the ones doing all the work. Physically speaking, you are. You are the one that is producing the sounds. You are the one that has to take that breath. You are the one. You have to be the one that does it. It's just that when you make that mental decision to do it, the Holy Spirit then releases to your spirit this language that is to come out. Think of it like this. If you could speak, say, in Russian, and I were to ask you, okay, quote John 3:16 in English. Just like that, you could quote John, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, etc. Then I would say, okay, now, I want you to quote John 3:16 in Russian. Just like that, you could start speaking Russian, and it would be John 3:16. And in your mind, you would understand everything that you were saying, whether it was English or Russian. But to the rest of the people who don't know Russian, we would have no idea what you're saying. In fact, we wouldn't know for sure if you were speaking Russian or not, because we don't know. But we would know the English. Likewise, when it's with tongues, when you begin to speak in a language you know, English, you're speaking in a language you understand with your mind. But the tongues is a language that comes straight from God. So when you're making these sounds, your mind will not understand. Now, yes, the Holy Spirit can give the interpretation, but nothing in Scripture tells us He always gives the interpretation of what you're praying when you pray in tongues. And your mind will not understand. And that's why your mind will fight against it and say, but this can't be of God. This can't be of God. No, it is of God, because you took that step of faith to receive this gift from God. And God then is going to produce that language through you by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It is totally and completely up to the individual. It's a gift that God has made available to any Christian who wants to put their faith in Jesus Christ. Praise God. Now, everybody stand. And I just want you for a moment, just lift your hands and begin to worship the Lord. Jesus, we love You and we glorify You. We bless Your name, Lord Jesus. I bless You. I glorify You. I thank You for being my Savior. I love You, Jesus. I love You, Jesus. I praise Your name. I glorify You, Jesus. I thank You, Lord, for Your presence here tonight. I bless You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, if you're here tonight and you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, but you'd like to, and you want to receive this gift, then I'm asking you to please go ahead, just come on up here, and I will pray with you. Is there anyone at all? Because God will give this gift to you right now if you want it. Is there anyone? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. And if you're here tonight, and maybe at times you've struggled praying in tongues, you come on up too, and I'll pray with you. And God, by the Holy Spirit, will reaffirm this. Struggling. Well, you've heard what I've shared tonight, how that you're the one that breathes in, and then when you, just like you were talking to me earlier tonight, you chose to breathe in and speak words. Well, likewise, when it comes to speaking in tongues, you're choosing to breathe in and then just release these sounds that make no sense to your mind whatsoever. It's not a spiritual block. It's just in your mind, you're trying to reason this out And when it comes to the things of the Spirit, quite often there's no reasoning that we can do in our minds to make it make sense. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. And at the end of the prayer, when I say in Jesus' name, amen, I'm just going to start praying in tongues and invite everybody else here to start praying in tongues with us. And then you just start praying in tongues too. Don't even worry about what it sounds like. Don't worry about trying to imitate me or anything. You just start making those sounds. Just begin to pray in that language that makes no sense to the human mind. Hallelujah. So pray this with me. Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
I thank you for filling me with the Holy Ghost.
I thank you for filling me with the Holy Ghost.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
I thank you for filling me.
I thank you for filling me.
And I thank you for giving me.
And I thank you for giving
this
me.
Gift of praying in tongues.
This gift of praying in tongues.
And I say right now.
And I say right now.
I will no longer allow.
I will no longer allow.
Any kind of mental block.
No mental block.
From keeping me from praying in tongues.
From keeping me from praying in tongues.
I say as of tonight.
I say as of tonight.
I am walking in the freedom.
I am walking in the freedom.
That Jesus died to give me.
That Jesus died to give me.
And I know tonight.
And I know tonight.
That I can pray in tongues.
I can pray in tongues.
Anytime that I want to.
Anytime that I want to.
Because God said so.
God said so.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Romara corazón de tocaran barotola para te quiere para todo para su todo color pronto. Indara para su color para todo.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now let me just encourage you just for a moment. When you leave here, you know how easy that was just now. When you leave here tonight, you get in your car, pray in tongues. And when you get at home, I don't know how many people you live with or don't live with, but I do your best to get alone, pray in tongues a while before you go to bed. In the morning when you get up and you're taking that shower, hallelujah, pray in tongues. Just pray in, because the more you pray in tongues like this, the more the Holy Spirit's going to be able to encourage you and say, yeah, this is me. This is definitely of God. This is a move of me in your life, in your spirit. And it helps you then to fight against those lies that Satan would want to say, that wasn't God, you made that up, that wasn't the Holy Ghost at all. No, it was the Holy Ghost. It was the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother Martin, I ain't never been in a school like this before. Too bad. They should all be like this. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God, man. That is tremendous. Okay.